New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Hour 2, as always, sponsored by your friends at Midwest Bank. Member
FDIC.
Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And what's happening today with Shin Daddy in Creighton, Nebraska, Bill?
Well, he's taking advantage of the rodeo arena that he set up yesterday for the youth calf roping contest that they were doing. And so today is going to be dogs and frogs.
Dogs and frogs.
Yeah, so because they have all the dirt down in the parking lot for us right there, so Shin Daddy's got a nice little bonfire built to for a wiener roast. Mm-hmm. And then frog jumping contest. A big circle has been made. The frog goes in the, you have your frog go in the middle of the circle. Who jumps out first? So you can bring your own frogs, or Shin Daddy went out yesterday and also they have some house frogs. So if you don't have a frog of your own to put in the into the contest, Shindy has some there. So he has his own frogs. He has a big bucket of frogs.
He does.
Yeah. So it's dogs and frogs.
How the dogs fit in?
What's that? The dogs are hot dogs.
Oh.
There's no dogs. It's dogs and frogs.
It went right at his face.
It went right at his. I mean,
it just never got
never
through.
Got there. The what never... happened there? Because I even said that there's going to be a said there's going to be a bonfire. So that are the dogs jumping over the fire? Is this some sort of a stunt? What do the dogs do?
On top of it,
I was waiting.
I was waiting
for the third part.
We led with the dogs. It's a wiener roast.
Okay, that's right.
Wiener roast.
Okay.
Yeah. Creighton locker dogs.
Okay, I'm sorry. And
potato salad also from the locker.
Where's the dogs
and frogs. What are the dogs? I don't even know who you are.
I don't know
Thanks
either.
Thanks to Midwest Bank and Shin Daddy.
Sorry.
By the way,
Shafe's here.
Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports in the building for the full hour. His hour is sponsored by Ben Spurk at Farm Bureau Financial Services. Please call Ben at 402-217-9945 for your insurance needs. Schaefer, good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Apologies for missing last week.
You had a sick child.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yes.
Illness.
That's scary.
Illness. But you're back now. So everything's good.
We're back. Yes.
Everything's good.
Does the child sickness freak you out like me and Sip does with our dogs? Because dogs can't talk to you. So the baby's what? How old now?
He's 7 months.
So the baby can't be like, hey, I have a little congestion right now, or I have this. You have to kind of figure it out in your head, right?
So yeah, we went through everything. It turned out it's just like a really bad earache. The biggest problem was he just wasn't sleeping overnight. So then you just kind of have to hang out with him for long stretches of time to make sure that he at least gets a little sleep on your shoulder.
Yeah.
So I just was in no place to talk publicly at 7 in the morning last Thursday. So
we're glad you're back today, though.
Thank you.
Schaefer, the story of the day has been, or the last 2 days has been, the situation at UNLV. Yeah. Matthew Sluka, the quarterback there, who... Again, 3-0 on the verge of being ranked in one poll, on the verge of being ranked in other polls. But they went against Kansas this year. They've been a good team. But he's leaving the team because of unfulfilled NIL. And I asked the question about a domino effect in college football. What's next after this? What happens next? What does this lead to?
Well, I mean, you saw a couple other players essentially do the same thing. Bear Alexander, a defensive lineman for USC. I think UNLV had a running back do something similar.
Correct.
it's not exactly new. You've seen players kind of do this before, though, in the past. I guess when it's happened with Nebraska, who's the running back under Frost that left?
Don't do this to me.
Greg
Bell.
Greg Bell.
Yeah, he left like during the season.
Yeah.
After the third game of the year to protect his eligibility. And then I think he resurfaced at San Diego State. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like this hasn't happened before. It's just a very, very public and messy
divorce
reveal. Yeah. I think reveal of sort of how the NIL people, I think, had an idea that it was a little bit more official, you know, expecting that there's just this mountain of paperwork and agreements and everything else. And
big difference on the Bell story, just because his was to preserve eligibility.
Yeah, this is pre-NIL.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. So it happened before, but now it's a money grab.
Here's the thing I want to interject, Shafe. It is, I think there are various stages of NIL being official. I think at Nebraska, it is pretty contract oriented. Yeah. And this type of thing, we should give this voice. This type of thing wouldn't happen at Nebraska. Because
but I would say that there's certainly rumors that they had issues when NIL first started on fulfilling everything.
Right.
Not under the current regime.
No. But
not, I mean, I'm just saying, like,
it's less, because it's much less
still
likely.
Largely in its infancy. And I agree, Nebraska in its situation right now, I wouldn't expect something like this.
No.
But in other places that are still working their way through it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've seen places as big as Florida come up with issues to actually pay the players after all the amount that was promised.
Rashada
was one of several.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I think kind of has to be worked through. I think the very public nature of it, though, mm-hmm. we haven't really experienced while it's happened during season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty fond of saying that you don't have to think about NIL a lot during the season.
Oh, here we are.
Here we are. Well, the conversation has changed in there.
Gundy said, yeah, don't have your agents coming in here. Season started. We're playing football. Remember, that was a big story when the season started. Don't have anybody coming here talking to me about money. Don't do it. Set it up front.
Draw the line. Yep. I wonder if Barry. I mean, you know who's been.
Well, basically, the family came back for $300,000.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from Barry Odom, by the way.
Well, here's the problem. That's why there's the rules. They can't comment on it. Yeah. They can't. That's why when they said that the offensive coordinator agreed to, yes, that's no problem with $100,000. He is in no way can do that.
No.
He might have just said it real passing, because the first I've been in it. I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real simple. It's like, coaches or anything like that. That's not me. And so the first thing you say, I have nothing to do with
it's a
that.
Collective.
I have nothing to do with what that is. Like that's always that we have a very good collective that I'm sure will have a great plan for you. That's it. That's it. You do not get involved with it as an assistant coach in no way, shape, or form. But now also Barry Odom doesn't get to answer.
Hmm.
And also the offensive coordinator doesn't get to answer.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the crazy part.
Can't even talk about losing his quarterback.
What's that? He can talk about that. So, yeah, we don't have a quarterback now, so we're going to number two. Here's what we're doing. But he can't. Well, tell me, because he named names. He says the offensive coordinator. They said it on air. And so, it's very, 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 very difficult.
So, fun situation right now at UNLV. And we'll see again. Barry Alexander
at USC.
Well, and
then they're 3-0. Like, that's it. So, I'm sure you wanted to transition there, but like the difficult part to me.
If they're 0-3, wouldn't be a story. It's like, you're 3-0 and have a chance to win the Mountain West. Like I said, they're one of 12 teams that has a chance to make the playoffs. They're kind of one. They're talked about. When they start talking, UNLV is mentioned because they beat two Big 12 teams.
Well, to me, I guess it's sort of like, what do you think is going to, and maybe it's all just money, and maybe that's what it is.
Just remember, you know who would love to be back there right now? The starting quarterback from last year, who's backing up at USC and not playing. He'd be like, I'm sure he's sitting there going like, oh wow, I wish I was playing football. Yeah. And if he thinks he's going to be is going to go someplace, and all of a sudden he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Sluka?
Milroe leaves Alabama, and Sluka is the next quarterback of Alabama.
He's got 40% completion percentage.
44% completion.
He's a very specific system-oriented quarterback.
Yes, he is.
I just don't, to me, if, again, without knowing the entirety of the situation and who said what and whatever else, just looking at the very base level of where he is playing right now, your situation really couldn't be a lot better than it is. So you're walking away.
Yeah, he's playing in the best situation he could. And This part didn't work out, other ways to handle it. But where's he going to be next year? Wyoming?
Yeah, I don't.
I just don't know where it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Right. Just so people understand.
Well, this is going to be coaches that don't want to. Sorry, Sybil.
No, you're fine.
That don't want to deal with what happened because of it's very public blowback here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, moving on from that situation, Nebraska played good defense the first 2 weeks of the season against Northern Iowa. 3 points. Defense was a little shaky at times. But then last week, of course, against Illinois, 31 points. They couldn't defend in the red zone very well and couldn't get a lot of pressure on Luke Altmyer. Was that a blip in the radar performance? Are you concerned about the defense after the last 2 weeks going forward?
I wouldn't say that it's like a yet. It's not yet like a long-term concern. I there's a part of me that wants to say that Friday was largely just a really bad off night for Nebraska. I mean, their safeties got caught looking in the backfield multiple times on play action. It felt like they were in between on whether they thought it was going to be a run. It ended up being a pass. When they thought it was going to be a pass, Illinois was able to steal easy yards right in front of them because they have numbers. They ran with numbers. I just thought Illinois' offensive coordinator called a really, really good game, and Nebraska could not adjust to it. I'm just not at the point where I'm panicked about the defense or think that what we saw in the first few weeks isn't symbolic of who they can be, or what we saw last year isn't symbolic of who they can be. It starts, they've got to be better at tackling, and they have to figure out how they can get more pressure up front. I mean, one of the noticeable things, a lot of pressure in the Colorado game. You divorce that game from the other three. Nebraska didn't get that many sacks, doesn't have that many hurries. Teams have thrown quickly on them, so the ball's not, sitting back there for a long time. But they're going to have to find a way for when it was to get more pressure with four, or they're going to have to commit to blitzing more, which means their secondary is going to have to play better too. So there's just some areas where it needs to look better. Not to jump ahead, because Purdue is an important game, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that Rutgers game and thinking, if Rutgers and Illinois looks a lot similar, that would be then concerning to me going forward. I just think, like, I don't want to put too much on one game on a Friday night where they clearly were not at their best.
I'm not going to worry about it. This is why I'm watching this game closely. Yeah. I mean, Purdue can do damage.
Sure.
Now, if it becomes a three-game trend, then you're serious. I wouldn't say I'm seriously concerned right now. But if Maccabee runs for 178 like he did 2 years ago, of course I'll be concerned. Now, so you just got to see. You just got to see what it looks like. Now, Devin Maccabee, number 45. That's who you're watching.
Schaefer did his weekly simulation last night for the game ahead.
Oh, this is the best.
It was a high-scoring game. Now, Nebraska came up on top. What was the score of the game, Schaefer? And who performed well?
It was 41-30.
Okay.
Nebraska. Dylan Raiola, who had a really tough time against Illinois the week before, virtual Dylan Raiola, threw 6 picks in that game.
I don't know.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We've never seen anything like that all year.
You don't see that much.
Particularly bad.
Usually four, you're out.
Yeah.
He came back really strong against six. Purdue.
Yeah, because you're not on the field.
The field.
Nebraska had no turnovers, no interceptions, no fumbles. They were able to move the ball pretty well through the air. Good. And it found Thomas Fedoni a few times in that game. So maybe if things were to translate over to real life, maybe the tight end gets involved a little bit more. For
the simulation occurs on Wednesday night.
On Wednesday night, yes.
And the score was...
There was a lot more enthusiasm for it before Nebraska dropped their first game in real life. But I think the people will be back once they start winning again.
It was 41-30, the final score of your simulation. High scoring game.
Here's one for you. It was 3rd and 6. Nebraska just needs 6 yards. They get it. They finish the game with a kneel. They throw, hits Alex Bullock, and you think... Veteran like that, he's probably going to slide, right? No, he ran it to the end zone. So then Nebraska's up 41-30, and you're thinking, well, wouldn't the most Nebraska thing ever be you give up the quick score and then the onside kick?
Oh,
and
God,
then,
yes.
You know, the virtual talk shows all week are talking about how the receiver didn't go down. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
The virtual Jake Sorensen.
Yeah, yes. Geez, out of control. Now, we know it's been a situation all year long with the kicking situation, and Matt Rhule said last night on State Ride Radio that Tristan Alvano is going to be out for a few more weeks. It's the John Hull show for a while. Now, John Hull had a chance to kick a game-winning field goal, or at least a go-ahead field goal against Illinois, missed it, pulled it left. If, you know, can he get that fixed in close games? Where's your confidence level in John Hull in a tight game?
Right now, what's my confidence level in the snap, the hold, and then the kick? I mean, it's not like it's just... You know, they're talking about the hold hasn't been there. You know, previous weeks, the snaps haven't been as good. The whole special teams operation, you know, as a whole, like we're talking all of it, not just place kicking. I have a lot of concern. I mean, people came out of Friday concerned about Nebraska's defense. I came out of Friday thinking we spent all offseason talking about how special teams could cost Nebraska a game. Their first Big Ten game, you go against a very good special teams team. Nebraska was bad. I mean, it just multiple areas of that game, they were bad on special teams.
Good God.
And so they have to at least be average on special teams against Big Ten teams because everyone else in the conference is great. Purdue this weekend will be great. If you watch USC, Michigan, they traded bombs of punts back and forth. Michigan just sat on USC the entire game. I think they had 4 punts inside the 20. Mm. Their punter was the MVP of that game if it wasn't for Khalil Mullings. I mean, so special teams in the Big Ten – for everyone else is like an A or an A+. Nebraska has to get it to a C, and that still cedes so much ground to everybody else. That is the one area of the team where it just feels like Nebraska is just teetering towards disaster.
Do you feel they're at a D right now?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, because name one area that you feel, other than Isaiah Garcia-Castaneda, there is not anything else where I'm just like, okay, that's at least been... solid every single week.
Coverage okay.
Not on kick returns.
Not on kick returns.
I mean, they've
and punt returns.
Well,
though.
And then, you know, they're...
You're right.
They're
you're
making that decision. We want to kick it off to the 2 or 3 yard line. Well, are you putting the ball high enough in the air to allow your coverage unit to get down there? Or are you putting them in a bad spot? Mm-hmm. Bushini's in a tough spot where I don't feel like the gunners on the outside. I thought Illinois handled Nebraska's coverage really... I mean... Even when the punt was to the right side of the field where your coverage was supposed to be, Nebraska's downfield coverage wasn't nearly far enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were allowing big chunks of yards in plain sight. And we used to call it hidden yardage with Nebraska right now. It is just obvious.
Glaring.
Yeah, it is concerning.
That's 60 yards in punt returns.
Yeah. I mean, and 33 of it came on one.
Yeah, 37.
But even still, there was another one in there where you have the opportunity to get a guy inside the 20. Mm-hmm. Your coverage has to be there. And it failed him on Friday. It really hurt him.
Yep. In general, if you're just talking just punt game, if they're not vicing the gunners and the two outside guys, it should be a wins. Because I always say there's the two hardest things in special teams is real simple. Right. It's being one-on-one versus a gunner. and having that guy not make the play. In the NFL, they just, they'll beat vices. But the one-on-one is where that's where the game's at. The other hardest technique is the front line on kickoff return. Those two techniques are so hard to do. And so if you're singled up, like I said, and you have to win in one-on-ones in those, that's the case. Now, I know there was talk of where the punt was and the hang time, all those different things. But even with that, those I'm just telling you what, from special teams perspective, what should happen. When they vice you, then the net has to show up. That's the center, guards, tackles. Then they got to show up. Those guys, those front five, they got the, now they're the one-on-ones. They're the ones that have the ones that have to be able to make a play.
You got
to
have dudes out there, in other words. Yeah.
Special teams, but you're saying
that. Yeah, I mean, that's...
You think everyone else is an A to A+, but Nebraska's a D at best.
That's what it feels like. I mean, you guys watched the Big Ten. I don't know what the new teams, but USC wanted the ball really well. That's going to be another team. I mean, they have good specialists. I don't know about UCLA and Washington and Oregon.
Yeah, there's some I don't know.
I mean, the rest of the Big Ten that you've seen and watched Nebraska play over the last decade, they're always good at special teams. Illinois is always a terrific special teams team. I mean, their backup kicker hit a 59-yard field goal in a game.
Yep.
I mean, nice. Nebraska's over here. If it's inside of 30, they have a 75% chance it's going in. You know, so it's just a very different world, and it's not new. I think that's what's the frustrating thing about it. You knew it going into the season, and now you saw that. I think it really cost them.
Couldn't anticipate Alvano's issue. Then
no, I mean, the injury is different. Right. But that's not why you struggled on kickoff coverage.
Right.
Or, you know, you gave up what you did on punt.
No, exactly.
You had your own issues in terms of, you know, returning everything else.
Isaiah Garcia Castaneda has returned 6 punts for 43 yards, which is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hail it too much.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that's baseline competence.
Yeah, that's it.
Half of that came in the UTEP.
That's it. That's all it is baseline competence.
Half of that came in the UTEP.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that's a gold star.
No,
that, you know,
no, it's better than
follow the leader here.
They had 48 yards in returns last year.
Yeah.
All right.
That's not baseline competence.
No, that's not. So 43, at least you're getting somewhere. You know, you'll hear people say, well, people don't return punts. Well, Illinois just returned 2 punts for 60 yards. So somebody's returning them. It happens.
I watched Oregon do it against Boise State. They caught a punt and then they ran back 92 yards.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah. It's possible. How many weeks will it take for Nebraska to get to 92 yards?
That 4 so far.
Don't get me started.
It's not great.
If you combine the last 2 years, they're still 1 short.
Is that right? God.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Still 1 short.
There we go.
Last thing before break, Schaefer, regarding recruiting, Nebraska gets commitment from Dayton Raiola, the younger brother of Dylan Raiola.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you for bringing
it up. How does he compare to, I know he's younger, but how does he compare to Dylan? What kind of player is he at this point?
He's really raw. I mean, this is a long-term, you're betting on the genes, you're betting on the private quarterback tutelage. This is a guy that's still going through his first really foray of being a varsity quarterback in high school now as a junior. And so what he needs more than anything is just go through game reps. I mean, he just needs to go through and learn certain situations that really only can be taught and learned during actual games to what it's like being in the huddle when you've got to go get a score and all these different things. I mean, Dylan started his entire high school career and Dayton is just now getting to that point. And so I think, you know, people see the last name and they're going to want to compare. I don't even think it's close in terms of where one was at when he was going into his junior year and where the other is.
They're different guys, too.
Yeah. Well, they're different personalities and, you know, and all of that.
And Dayton's a lefty.
Dayton's a lefty. And when he was here at
Stabler,
Friday Night Lights, I mean, he's got a big arm. He can make throws. He just, the consistency with it, it was every third throw, there'd be a knuckler that would come out. And so, you know, a lot of that is just getting reps, and it's going to be putting in time.
Time matters.
Yeah, the great thing here is Nebraska doesn't need him in 2026 or conceivably 27. Nope. So he's got lots of time to develop.
An example of that would be, people talk about that right now, is right now the most incredible story is Jaden Daniels for the Commanders. And then you have Caleb Williams. Like, oh, whoa, hang on now. Just remember, Jaden Daniels has started 25 more games than Caleb Williams has.
Is he really?
25 really? More games. 25
Jaden Daniels
more.
Is older
he
than
played
realize,
50, yeah, he played 55 games in college, wherever it was. He's played 24 really? More games. Yeah. So well, not in the NFL. I realize they're both in the NFL at the same time. When you've played 20-something more games, you feel a little bit better about yourself.
I think he was 24 when he was drafted, so he's a little older than what your normal.
Yeah, and so it is the difference.
Not panics, but
it's 20. Similar. It's like 55 games to 30 something games. Yep. So that makes a difference on time and how much you've played. How many games have you played?
The other thing about Dayton is he'll be more apt to run it. I mean, he can run it. He's more willing to run it. He's talked about it. Dylan can run. We've seen it. Dayton's probably a little more enthusiastic about it.
Dylan's running so far, I guess the word I would use to describe it is a little tepid. Like, he's putting his toe in. Mm-hmm. It's not like a full bore. I'm 100% in on this. Mm-hmm. There was that play right at the goal line. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those where you just needed him to be probably a little more sudden or willing, I guess, on that than really what he was. I thought that he would be a little bit more in that regard. And so I thought they would be able to utilize him as a rusher more. I do not think that near as much.
Dylan Raiola, though, you would agree is the foremost reason for optimism going forward.
I mean, he was terrific on Friday. I mean, the interception is rough. I didn't feel like that. I don't know. That whole call, whatever it is, it's unfortunate. His two interceptions this year are basically on 50-50 balls.
Yep.
And then even the throw to Luke Lindenmeyer, I mean, the process was good. It just throw was just a little bit off. That's going to happen sometimes. I thought he was excellent on Friday. He made some touch throws. You go back, you look at the first throw of the second half where he just drops that in over the linebacker between the safety, 20 yards down the field, rolling slightly to the right. I mean, it's beautiful.
When's the last time Nebraska's had a quarterback that could throw into the windows that he throws into?
I don't know.
It's been a long time.
I don't want to be like recency biased, but it's really hard for me with all of the knowledge and all of the memories I have of Nebraska quarterbacks to even think of someone who's somewhat comparable throwing.
Well, Zach Taylor win the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, but he didn't have the arm strength that Dylan has.
And I mean, Tanner
Lee zoned him up.
Tanner Lee threw a nice ball.
Well, Zach had the anticipation and the savvy and all those things.
Yeah.
But the overall top end arm strength, no.
You could zone him up and he'd have a hard time throwing into windows.
Thanks, Steve.
I like saying stuff like that.
When we come back,
emotions are high.
They are. Emotions are high today.
Bella's leaving. And Ben is distraught.
He is distraught.
Look at Ben.
Sad over there.
Swoopy hair.
When we come back, Bill's thrills, cool parenting tips Thursday, and early break of the ticket.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.